Picture this. You've just arrived at the theater, taken your seat. The house lights dim, the music comes up, curtain opens, and suddenly you're immersed in a sensory bath of light and fog and rattling chains.
Don't come any farther up those stairs!
That's from a recent performance at First Baptist Carrollton in Texas.
Theater is meant to be a sensory experience.
Jordan Butterfield teaches kids about that experience at Trinity Repertory Theater. For kids with sensitivities to light and sound and touch, like people on the autism spectrum, that experience might just feel overwhelming.
Lights that are very, very bright would completely ruin it. Any sort of strobes, obviously. Loud sounds, banging, anything like that, are just too much to process.
Dr. Henry Sachs is medical director at Bradley Hospital in Providence. Sachs says a so-called neurotypical brain can handle all these inputs and filter out what's not important. People with autism spectrum disorder have a tougher time processing sensory inputs.
In some of the cases, they have almost like a diminished awareness of sensory inputs around them. So things that we might find painful, they might not even really notice. Then there's others on the other side of the spectrum who are very reactive to a sight, a smell, a touch, a sound that you and I might almost ignore entirely.
In other words, some people on the spectrum might turn inward. Others might need to react, to move, or vocalize. So for Jordan Butterfield and her artistic colleagues at Trinity Repertory Theater, the question became, can we design a performance for people who have a wide range of reactions to all of these sensory inputs and still tell a good story? This year marks their third performance of a sensory-friendly Christmas carol.
Right now we're in the finishing stages of the set, hanging the lights and everything. So it's your general, you know, calm before the storm.
Production director Laura Smith oversees set construction, light, and sound design. It's a couple of weeks before opening night when nothing looks like it's coming together, but everything is actually right on track. Crews are hanging lights from the catwalk and drilling pieces of a movable elevator beneath the stage floor. Smith says adapting this particular production for a special audience was easy because it's familiar terrain.
You know, all of us here have produced, I'm on my 19th Christmas Carol, so we've all produced Christmas Carol. They're different as far as the looks, but bottom line, especially in the way that they sound, they're virtually the same. We all know when the big noises are going to come, which is Marley and the Ghost of Christmas Future and all of that stuff. So
The chains rattling.
All of that stuff. You know, we know where there's the big booms.
Smith says the character of Marley's ghost still rattles some chains, but not as many, not as loud. There's no fog, definitely no strobe lights. In fact, the house lights stay on throughout the performance, and the actors adapt too. Today, they're upstairs rehearsing a party scene.
To Uncle Ebenezer Scrooge.
Actors are used to an audience sitting quiet and still in their seats, laughing when they're supposed to. But in his second floor office, Trinity Rep artistic director and A Christmas Carol's director for this year, Kurt Columbus, says the actors prepare for a range of reactions at Saturday's sensory-friendly performance.
And as long as you know that this is not your typical audience and you're aware of what the audience is bringing to the performance, because they just have a different way of paying attention.
They might respond out loud to actors on stage. They might hop out of their seats, and that's all expected. Columbus says the theater experience is designed to put kids at ease well before the curtain goes up.
The actors come out in costume and talk to them and tell them, I'm playing this person in the performance. I'm the ghost of Marley, but I'm a person, so I'm not a scary ghost.
During the performance, kids don't have to stick to their seats. There's a pacing area for audience members who need to move around. There's a quiet play area downstairs for kids who just need a break from the performance. Education Director Jordan Butterfield says parents and caregivers who buy tickets receive some information ahead of time about what to expect, including answers to questions some other kinds of audience members would never think to ask.
Can I bring edibles or things for my child to chew on because that makes them comfortable? Can they have headphones on during the performance? Would it be possible for them to get up and move around if they need to? And so we answer all of those questions. All of the answers are yes.
Butterfield says they also created something called a social story about the experience of going to the play. It's an online video parents and caregivers can show kids to help them visualize the whole process, from leaving their house and driving to the theater to clapping at the final curtain. Bradley Hospital's Dr. Henry Sachs says rehearsing an outing like this before it happens is important because many autistic kids thrive with routine and structure.
And when they do need to go outside of that routine, they will go over that story with the child repeatedly before the event to have them feel comfortable about what's happening in order and sort of the final outcome of it.
It might sound like a lot of work, all the preparation, the adaptations for a single performance. But Trinity Reps Jordan Butterfield says the feedback they get makes it worth it. Some parents tell her after the show that taking their autistic child on an outing is usually just too difficult. The child might have an outburst. People stare. People judge.
They always say that I felt at ease in a public setting for the first time in a really long time. It was like they've never been able to go on vacation. They've never been able to go to a movie theater without people looking at them and shushing.
More movie theaters and playgrounds are offering sensory-friendly performances and events these days, but they're still not that easy to find or as close as parents would like. Kristen Gourlay, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.